Okay. First order of business is the election of officers, and according to the message from the town clerk, it must be in the form of a motion. Does anyone have a motion?
I make a motion to nominate Tom Manning as chair.
Second.
You accept, Tom?
Yes, I do. We have a motion and a second, and I'm going to call the roll. Now let's see if I looked it up. I don't know if I can remember who that numbers are. Go on.
Juan, was that your second?
It was.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Aye.
Arlene?
Aye.
Marilee?
Yeah. Aye.
Ellen?
Aye.
Peyton? And Rhea?
We're alternates. Do we vote?
And
Rhea's
Eric?
aye.
The chair votes aye.
Our chair votes aye.
How about the people up there? And what about Jim?
Hi, I'm sorry. I'm having problems with my whatever.
This property, he owns the property market up there, the one you go to there for the plants and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
That's Jim Cropley.
Not his anymore, but it was Jim.
No, not mine anymore.
Has it started yet?
Ooh,
Yeah,
retired.
they took a vote on who's going to be chairman. Yeah, Tom Manning's going to be the chairman. I think they voted him in. I think he get up and walked out. I don't know where he went. I don't think he can't stay.
He's back.
I'm back. Royce and
There he is,
Jordan.
chairman.
Which one?
Tom Manning.
Mr. Lorsch, could you please mute your
Thank you.
Okay. Is there a nomination for Vice Chairman Secretary?
I would like to make a motion that Juan Gordon be the vice president of a vice chair person and secretary.
Is there a second?
Jim Cropley, I second it.
Jim Cropley seconds. No surprise there.
That was very quick.
Okay. I'll call the roll. Ellen?
I think it's Ellen or Ellen?
Ellie.
I go by Ellie, but it is Ellen. So
Oh,
you're all right.
Marilee.
Aye.
Arlene.
Aye.
Kwan.
I would stay.
And then like, you can
Eric.
do so.
I.
And Jim.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Kwan is the vice chair and secretary.
And is that a 6-0-1 vote?
Yes.
Okay. And just for the record, Ellen, how would you like to be in the minutes? Is it Ellen or would you like Ellen or Ellie?
I have no preference, whatever's easier.
Okay.
All right, now for the approval of minutes, I'm going to assume that it'll be a majority of those present at the meeting.
Sure.
Okay.
Although
Move it.
let me just throw this out there. One of you attended that meeting. Was it Ellie? Were you there?
Yes,
Did,
I
you,
was.
you
I
weren't you
left.
weren't seated, you weren't seating, but you were at the meeting.
But you should have
I
told
would
me.
actually allow I would actually allow her to vote.
Okay, and for the record, I listened to the tape.
Okay.
So that'll give you another
That
one.
make you eligible too, sure.
I also listened to the tape.
There you go.
So I do have a correction. For back face. So on page one, the last paragraph, House Bill is 502. I think factually should be House Bill 8002.
It's 5-0-0-2, I think.
Is it five?
It was 5-0-0-2, 8002 is 5002 revised.
Revised, okay.
Do you want to add?
At the time of the meeting, though, it would have been the 5002.
That's how we were referring to it, but.
No, when it passed the House today, it was 8002.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it needs to change.
So should I make a correction or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Any other change? There a motion to accept them as amended?
I make a motion to accept the Wednesday, November 12th regular meeting minutes of the Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission with minor correction of bill number 8002, not 5002.
And is there a second?
Tim Cropley, I second it.
And Jim Cropley seconds. I'll call the roll. Ellen?
I think I'm going to abstain just because.
Okay. Marilee?
Aye.
Arlene?
Aye.
Juan?
Aye.
Jim?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye.
So do you want to do 501?
Yes. Next is the residence form. This is for anyone either in the room or online to speak on anything that is not on the agenda, any item not on the agenda. And I see several people.
Richard, I know two of the people, Richard and Gunnar, I believe are here for your new business.
Informal. Okay.
Yeah. Bryce and Jim Lorsch, I think, are general public.
Okay. Bryce or Jim, do you have anything to say to the commission at this time? There are no response. Staff reports.
Besides getting the regulations together, we continue to work on the housing analysis with Capital Region Council of Governments and their consultant for the Cider Mill property. I have attended economic development partners meeting this morning with the state, with Dan O'Keefe, who is the state DECD commissioner. And they do this once a month or so just to sort of update us on what's going on in the state, what's where money's being spent, how the economic health of the state is, the housing bill, those kind of things. So that was actually this morning. I attended a two-day affordable housing conference as well, which was virtual. And again, this followed the housing bill. There's going to be a lot of stuff that's coming out about the housing bill and how we are going to be involved as a town through the region and the kinds of things we'll have to be doing. And as those things come out, I'll be bringing them to the Planning and Zoning Commission if there are things that we need to attend to, which I believe there will be. I had nominated Bob Mora for a Lifetime Achievement Award through CCM. He was awarded that award and we attended the conference in the beginning of December for that. I continue on the Priority Pathways Committee, which is regarding trails and regional connection throughout the CROG region, the 32 towns. And a bunch of different questions. We always, get questions regarding development options for different properties, one of which you're going to have a conversation this evening on. Other properties included a property on West Street, some properties on South Road. some lot line reconfiguration questions, and that sort of thing.
Mr. Chair, I have a couple of questions. I don't know if this is the appropriate time to ask. You talked about pathways, Patrice. Does that include our LOTSIP path, that our connectivity path? Is that
so? It is part. It's that would be a local connection on the pathways map, if you will. They're creating a connectivity map of all the areas in the region. So our two main connections in the town, as you might guess, are Hop River Trail and the East Coast Greenway. And then off of that, there are other pathways that exist that, you know, are more what they would consider more local connections. And the idea is to try to connect, fill in gaps, that sort of thing. So that's what they're looking at.
This is a statewide thing?
This is a Capital Region Council of Governments thing. So it's really just for our region.
Okay. And then the other question I have is, with all the changes in affordable housing and the needs that we have and what our town, because of its size and lack of infrastructure, is there any need for us to meet with the Board of Selectmen so that we can come up with joint plans and joint ideas and everybody be on the same page?
Well, I mean, that's up to you guys if that's what you want to do. I think we need to probably hear a little more on the housing bill first. We do have an affordable housing plan. It's a component in our POCD, which we did about a year or two ago. And so we're going to probably have to look at that with regard to what comes out with the housing bill. One of the strategies for the cider mill property is affordable housing. So that's also kind of in the works at this point.
Okay. Patrice, is there any kind of a timeline on that study? I know that it's that we're sort of lucky to be chosen, but did they give us any idea of how long it's going to take for them to do the actually make that study complete?
Yep. Our next meeting with them is sometime in the beginning of January. And at that time, I am presuming we're going to be seeing possible regulation, suggestions to regulation amendments, as well as possible property development plans for it. Not, I don't want to say plans, but rough plans to meet with the owner to start with, at least. But this is something that's going to be done within a few months. We're not, this is not a long, dragged out process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep.
Patrice, I have a question. The mobile homes that are across from the mobile station.
Yes.
Are those affordable housing or no?
They are not deeded as affordable housing. They may qualify based on mortgage rates if they have a certain type of mortgage.
Yeah.
But I have no idea. They were basically replacement housing for what was there. They were allowed to replace in kind.
Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering if that fell in that category.
Bolton has housing that is small A affordable, but is not big A, capital A affordable.
Right.
And that is not guaranteed for the next, to be so for the next 40 years. So
is that the big A?
The big A. Where it meets all the state definitions. Big A. Yeah.
Is that how they're doing it? Big A and.
Well, that's how I'm doing it.
It kind of makes sense, Tom, actually, that the moniker that you've given it.
And we have previously invited the Board of Selectmen to meet with us. They did meet with us, and I think it will be appropriate to do that again.
The other thing I meant to tell you, I understand that they're going to be trying to get together the land use boards for a meeting, which would include the selectmen and I believe also the Wetlands Commission. So it'll be Planning and Zoning, Wetlands, and Board of Selectmen. And I think it's probably geared toward housing, but I think they're waiting a little bit just to see, because the housing bill, although it falls in our lap somewhat, the plan is going to be done through the Capital Region Council of Governments for the region. So, and then we're going to move from there.
Trickle down.
Well, we'll have they're not going to do anything that we wouldn't agree to or agree with. We're allowed to be at the table for that. They're not going to adopt regulations for the town of Bolton. That's your job there.
Yeah.
So Patrice, I do have a follow-up to what you just mentioned. Don't quote me on this, but I thought I remember seeing some of the readouts for that 8002 bill that the options were to either go along with the CROG's plan for affordable housing, or that the town itself could also draft its own plan as long as it meets certain criteria.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it ended up in the final bill, Quan. You may be right, but I know that the big sticking point was they didn't want, they wanted to make sure that whatever was done fits regionally. That's why they moved, that's why the governor vetoed the bill in the first place and tried to work this through the regions. We met with Capital Region Council of Governments, met with the planners in the region before the bill was revised, to be assured that, you know, the state wasn't going to just force something down the town's throat that maybe the town either didn't want or couldn't accomplish or couldn't accommodate. So because of utilities or what have you. So there's also supposedly money coming out of that bill that would help to extend utilities like sewer and water. So those are also, you know, that's really one of our biggest issues for doing any kind of higher density housing. But
and while I'm remembering it, we should appoint our representative to the Regional Planning Commission in January. That should be
in January. Yep.
In the agenda, because the meeting I think is in February.
Right.
And I have been doing that, and it's very interesting. But if anyone else wants to take that over, that's
well, there's a main person and an alternate, right?
Correct.
And both can attend if you doesn't, you know, if you're an alternate, you can attend as well.
And it's all online.
Oh, they don't do it in person anymore.
No.
Okay.
It's all online. And there's usually there's four meetings a year, and there's usually an hour of education beforehand. So if you're part of it, you that's a good way to get your
credit.
4 hours of education.
And are they open to anybody? They open to general public if we all wanted to get a link or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're public meetings.
It's public.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
During time of day does these meetings typically occur? Are they in the morning?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
And okay. Usually on Thursday, but I guess one of the meetings is on Wednesday, so it's
okay.
All right. There are no more questions. Is there any other old business?
No, I do not have any other old business.
Okay, so we'll move on to our first item of new business, informal discussion development of 1225 and 1230 Boston Turnpike, potential subdivision and 830G project. Would you explain, Patrice, what an 830G project would be?
I'd rather hear from the applicants first, if that's okay, and okay. Let them explain what they'd like. They have submitted... which is in front of you, a map and a short narrative. I can put the map up on the screen if you'd like, but you then wouldn't be able to see your people. So I didn't know what you wanted to do.
And quick question, isn't it 8-30G?
Yes. So this is just written, and there's
So it's 8-30G.
It's correct on the agenda.
So Tom, the Richard and I believe, well, I'll let Richard, if you want to invite Richard to speak, I think he's the person who asked for the meeting.
Yes, Richard, please.
So we came to be owners of this property, never intend, or these two properties, never intending to be. It's through a loan that wasn't paid, and the only option that we were able to develop was to run a foreclosure and take title to the property. The property, the loan was made by my wife's IRA. So the owner of the property is, that's who the owner of the property is. And just to provide a little precision, the owner is Forge Trust, custodian for the benefit of Michelle Grodsky. So that's who the owner of these two properties is at the moment. And as I said, we never intended to be the owner, and now we're trying to figure out what to do with them. So we've, one of the properties at 1225 is occupied by a few tenants, and it consists, I don't know whether, I assume that most people here have driven by these properties many, many times and may or may not be familiar with what they look like. The photo there that we drew a line on, I think, describes the properties pretty well. There's two buildings that are in good condition that are being used by two of the tenants that are there. There's a house that probably hasn't been lived in for 25 years or something like that. There are two garage looking buildings that are about 1,000 or 1,200 square feet each. And there is a large Quonset hut style barn that's maybe about 6,000 square feet. The house, the two garage buildings, and the barn are in poor condition. The other two buildings are in good condition. One of our tenants has expressed a strong interest in buying half of the property. And so that's why we went out there and did some rough measurements. And we think that we can subdivide it more or less along the line, the alignment of the line that we drew there. And
the red line?
Yeah, the red line. Yep. And that would require the removal of a part of what I call the Quonset hut style barn that's kind of in the center of the property. And removing that section, you're not going to, it's barely standing there anyways at this point. So that's one option. And we wanted, we have enough road frontage to do that. There's, I think, a 200 foot road frontage requirement. We have a total of about 500. And again, just roughly measuring out there, it looks like that would work. So we wanted to see if there was any support or objection for that. That's the 1225 property. And I'm going to come back to it after I describe the 1230 property. But I guess just a little background. I've been in the real estate business for a super long time. And while this isn't what, you know, we intended to do when we made this loan, it's something that we can accomplish, I think, fairly easily. So are there any questions about the 1225 property and what we're looking to do?
I have a question. Yes. Do any public utilities, well, particularly sewage, does that run as far as your property?
My understanding is that it does.
That's correct. We don't have water, but it is there. It is sewered.
It's, as far as I understand, it's sewer and well that's supporting the property now. Obviously, electricity.
I believe you are correct. I remember looking at the Department of Public Health water table site, and I believe that is an accurate statement.
And when I hold this map and I'm looking at it, is 1225 to the right and 1230 to the left, or vice versa?
1230.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, I was going to say 1225 is the one that has all the buildings on it, and 1230 is across the street.
So.
Okay.
So we don't have a map of across the street.
No.
No, just 1225 is what you have a map of.
And then that it, that red line is a proposed subdivision line.
Yeah. I'd say approximate. It's just something we pulled the image there off the GIS, and we did some measuring when we were out there, and it looked like a line somewhere in that alignment would provide the side yard setbacks that are required and the 200 mm-hmm. feet of road frontage, which is required for each parcel.
Right. So a couple, if I might, the conversation that I had with Richard when he was looking at this is just says some background. Property is zoned RMUZ, which although it is somewhat of a business zone, it is limited in the types of business it can have. And it was only allowed to have the businesses that are there because it was viewed as a value added tax property to the farming part of the property. And I think Jim, Arlene, and Tom maybe were the only people that might have been on the board at the time when that was discussed. So one of our questions as staff is, if he subdivides it into two lots, is the value added tax property thing hold up still? The second question is, if you're willing to remove buildings and stuff to meet the setback requirements, then you should be okay. And I presume that you have, you're not over the lot coverage requirement for each lot. And I don't know, without, I'm not an engineer, so without somebody telling us that, I don't know the answer to that question. And then the only other question, just looking at this briefly, is the question of access to the property. Let's see, to the, it would be toward Coventry.
Right.
So the access road that you see to the far right of the map is not an access, not an allowed access. So
oh,
they,
no.
Excuse me.
I was going to say, I remember that one, and that was only so they could get in tractors, right?
Right, but it's now closed off and not allowed to be used as access. So there would need to be access somehow to the site. It could be a shared access from the other property, but I mean, that's just another item that would have to be discussed. This is a public state road, so the state would be the ones approving any kind of access to the property, additional access. And, you know, without a formal review, those are the things that I think we talked about, Richard. Outside of this,
yep.
The access.
My concept for access is there's right in this, pretty much in the center of the line that we drew, is the existing access, and I would make it a shared easement where the access just continues and along the same alignment, and each owner has a easement and a cross easement. I think that's the simplest thing to do that doesn't change things at all.
May I ask a question? Is the idea of of subdividing into two lots, is that because of that person that is interested in purchasing one part of this piece of land?
Yes, that's what motivated us and got us thinking along those lines. I still don't know if it's a good idea.
Okay.
So I think it is.
I think it says in our plan of conservation and development that this is supposed to be like a gateway.
It is.
So how does housing how does housing the existing building and changing this work into that? I mean, it just
his plan at this point. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Richard, but your plan at this point is not to change anything on this side of the street. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to remove. You see the rectangular piece of what I call the center Quonset hut barn. There's a rectangular piece of that would not be 25 feet from this division line. So that would be removed. And there's another rectangular sort of a lean-to on the back of it that would probably be removed also. The main building is a good building and not in very good condition, but the two chunks that I'm describing are not good buildings. They were just thrown up there, you know, in a weekend or something like that. So I think that, so I'm just saying that there would be some, the footprint would decrease actually.
Right. So Arlene, he's not asking to do anything new on this property. All he's asking to do is split it in two. And, you know, we haven't done a formal review and even on the subdivision line, but, you know, the question about the value added is one of the items, because that's how this stuff got there or got approved. And then just as long as he can meet the setbacks and the access and the improvement, I mean, the lot coverage requirements, and, you know, we'd have to look at all that.
Yeah, this Jim Cropley. I mean, I think when we originally approved that, if I'm not right, weren't they going to plant trees and stuff there also? Wasn't that one of the value added things that we were told that they were going to do?
There is one row of trees that they did plant in front of the metal warehouse.
I'm talking about they were going to, because it was tied to the farming operation. I actually thought they were going to grow trees there.
Oh, like a nursery. I don't know about that.
Right. That part of it, Tom, I thought, or Arlene, I mean,
there was conversation about the existing company there doing some growing. And
right.
Yeah.
They were going to remove larger specimens from job sites and plant them there, then resell them. And that's how I think we got the value added. Because at first we thought with the tree going on and all the, that was more of a industrial
type business.
Type, yeah. Versus a agriculture business.
Right.
Are the bunkers still there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But they're not included in this property? Here, but at the back. Yeah, it sort of takes a zigzag.
Oh, I see. Okay.
For my part, I would have no problem maintaining the whole value added idea. For the continued use of the buildings.
Yeah. Also, wasn't there some? I don't remember exactly, but wasn't there some erosion issues too, where they had to build a berm? I don't know if subdividing that or putting a new roadway would affect that. Wasn't there? I believe there was something about.
I think that was over on the Coventry Road, Jim,
I think so,
which is
too.
Why they couldn't use the, I don't know what the name of that road is, but this, which is why they couldn't use it for access into the property.
No, I think it was down in the back of the rear property where it was.
In the back?
The back.
That's correct. There is a There is a berm along the rear property line, and I don't know anything. I don't know who built it. I don't know when it was built. I don't know whether it's exactly on the property line, but I do know that it exists.
So this subdivision, if it was done, would not affect that, right?
It would, you know, it would, the red line that I drew is perpendicular to the berm. The berm is right along, near as I can tell, right along the rear property line.
Okay. I think the tenants that are there now had to redo that berm because it had been destroyed or something. There was something about that that I remember that we required. Mm-hmm.
I believe you're right, Jim. I believe they had to shore up the berm.
Right. So
that there was no erosion. But I think that was done. I think that was part of the...
Yeah, that was part of the agreement.
Right.
Do my question is, how does 8-30G come into this?
That's across the street.
Okay, that's going to be the
It's extremely wet across the street.
We have a wetlands study that the prior owner did that shows that it's about 50% wetlands and about 50% uplands. So out of the 15 point something acres, there's about 7.5 or 8 acres of upland, mostly in the front, some in the woods, but mostly in the clear area. So I think I sent Patrice a wetlands map that was drawn on that property. So I don't know whether...
You have it. Did you email it to me, Richard?
Yes, I did.
Okay. If I can find it. If you would like to talk, I'll see if I can find it.
Okay. Well, so trying to figure out what to do with that property also, and we looked at the options. There's a couple acres or so of it in the front that's zoned commercial. There's the balance of it in the rear, about 13 point something acres is zoned residential. And we looked at all the different things you could do there. And we came up with this 830G idea, which, as I understand it, it ignores zoning. And it's it would be apartments or rental townhouses that would have a 30% affordable housing component. So I guess 3 units out of every 10 would be affordable housing. Half of those would be affordable by 80%. And I'm going to probably say this wrong. Is it the AGM? Is that the right acronym?
AMI maybe.
Yeah, average maybe it's a, income, I believe.
We're all saying the same thing, but
yeah.
So 15% would be at 60% and 15% at 80%, and I don't recall the number of years, but it's something like 30 or 40 years. It's a long time.
I think it's 40.
So the I'm not interested in fighting gravity, and if gravity is against an 830G project, I'll probably drop that idea very quickly and look for other options. But if an 830G project is appealing, I'll pursue that. I guess from what I can tell, you'd probably have to get at least 50 or 60 units there to make it affordable and attractive for a developer to develop it. I would not build these units, but I would plan them and get them approved and get the engineering done and so on. I would take it through that phase, but I would not build the project. I would look to sell it.
So, Patrice, are they going to change the fact that we are not supposed to use the sewer for? There's no way you're going to perk out 50 or 60 bedrooms in that well.
No,
it would, half the land is still wet.
Yeah. It's too wet. So, and the sewer that does run there, it's my understanding that it's not for this sort of thing. If you can perk out for 12 bedrooms or whatever, then you can build your apartments for your 12 bedrooms, but you cannot tax the system. Are they going to change that so we can put this
I'm
in?
I'm not sure that affordable housing project doesn't trump that requirement. And I don't, Richard, have you had any discussion at all with the Water Pollution Control Authority yet?
I talked to Jim Rupert at some length, and it's my understanding, as you put it, that it does trump it, and you're allowed to do it. And he told me the fee to Bolton would be $10,000 a unit. And what he told me was that, I have to look at my notes, I'm going to do it from memory, but I think I'm going to get it right, that Bolton had 200,000 gallon a day capacity, and they were using something like a third of it. And I've got the real numbers, and I can send them to Patrice tomorrow, or at least the numbers according to Jim Rupert. So he thought that the capacity was no problem. He did tell me that besides the 10,000 a unit that we would owe to Bolton for connecting, that the effluent flows to the Manchester treatment plant, and we would owe a fee to Manchester for accepting the effluent. I've been in touch with them quite a bit, and even today, trying to get the exact information, and I don't have any exact information. So I'm not sure what that is. But I do know there's something involved with Manchester that would have to be satisfied. And then there's
I think he can overcome it, Arlene, to answer your question.
Okay, so that leads me to my next question, was how does this affect further development either in the drive-in site or down at Cider Mill property? Mm. If we use all this, if APDG trumps it, it's not going to affect future possibilities?
I mean, it'll take up some room, but there is room available, my understanding.
Well, for like all three sites for possible development and still be within that, what is it, 70% that you're talking about, the self-development? Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Fingers crossed.
But Manchester has to okay it. I can't imagine that we can just...
Yeah. But those are questions.
Pay the answer to the fee. Yeah.
Those are questions to be answered by Manchester, or actually it wouldn't even just be Manchester, it would be probably the whole authority. I'm gonna share, I this is the only map I could find, Richard, and if you don't mind, I'll try and share the screen here to see if this is what we were talking. Was this the one you're thinking of?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I can make this any bigger.
Yeah, there's a finger of wetlands that sticks up in there. And right. The engineer who drew this thought that there would be a way to mitigate that. And maybe it would be a stormwater management pond that was in a slightly different position, but handled the whole property to make it, you know, a little bit of a cleaner build.
So basically what you're saying is everything within this orange line here is dry or upland.
That's what I understand is
the wetland, and around it is the wet.
And around it, there, I mean, you can see there's some wetland in the front, which is just the ditch on the side of the road.
Right.
And there's more uplands in the woods, but
over here. Yep.
Yeah, we didn't mark that. Supposedly there's another 2 or 3 acres. And I think what this represents is around 7 acres or 8 acres. I'm not sure exactly.
Right.
But this is the only thing I have. I haven't started spending serious money on this yet, other than the legal fees to get title back.
Sorry, could we repeat what the red lines on this map indicate? I'm sorry.
So can you see my cursor, Quan?
Can we turn the lights off?
I do not see it.
So everywhere inside of the orange line is upland. There is this small finger that goes in of wetland here, and everywhere outside of the line is wet in the forest. So the cleared area outside of this finger that is going in is upland.
Oh. And there's supposedly another couple acres of uplands in the woods. So that would be to the left, I think, essentially.
Yeah, this doesn't go in. The map doesn't go any further than this.
Yeah. Yep.
Actually, if you look at this on our GIS, it kind of mirrors what's on the GIS map. So it's probably pretty close. That's based on soil. So
if we do 830G, does he still have to meet design criteria, or does 830G trump everything and they do whatever they want?
He only has to meet public health code and wetland regulations.
Is there any way that, what's the alternative to 830G where we still get the affordable housing and it's a win-win for everybody? Or is 830G the only way to go to?
Well, why are you assuming that this is not going to be a win-win for everybody?
Because if there's no control over the design and whatever the developer wants to build, he builds. What if you're left with an elephant and your gateway? First, I think it's great to have some affordable housing. I think that's awesome.
Right.
And that's a definite win. We need it. We have to do it. But I guess I just am a little concerned about being left with something that we're going to wish we weren't left with.
The whole gateway thing predated me, and I've always been a little mystified because I grew up in Coventry, you know, right, kind of thing. And we always thought that Bolton was so fancy, you know, kind of thing. But now that I've lived here, I understand truly it is not that fancy. So why are we, what are we trying to do with the gateway? I never could really understand that.
It was just supposed to be something that was, I don't know, Patrice, help me out here. I don't want to say.
It wasn't supposed to be a large, in, you know, business area. It's more lower.
It was like the
smaller scale businesses, and it's really not housing either, per se, not single family housing, but it was a smaller scale businesses. And, you know, that was where also, written back in the day when, you know, pre-COVID, before business, the way people do business and the way they operate and where they locate is a lot,
right,
changed a lot. And, you know, there's not, we've seen some very affordable, some very attractive affordable housing developments in the housing strategy sessions that I've been to. So there's nothing saying that it's not going to look good. And certainly you can ask questions and make recommendations and what have you. All I'm saying is the developer can pretty much, as long as he meets the public health code and he meets the requirements of public health code and wetlands, that he can do what he wants. I would like to think that somebody developing the property would have a little pride in it, and they would probably, if the commission asked them for something, that they might take it into consideration and do that.
Well, it's just good business too. I mean, you want sure. your product to be attractive.
Yep.
Yeah, and then from my understanding of the 8-30G, if we as a commission denied an 830G application and the developer appeals that, the only recourse we would have would be to pose a legitimate concern about health and safety, Patrice, as you mentioned, a wetlands issue, a fire safety issue, or something along that lines to back up the legitimacy. Other than that, the 8-30G is a very powerful avenue.
I have a question about 1225 again. I understand that you have a tenant who's interested in the buildings that they're currently using, but what was your interest? What were your thoughts about the other half of the property? What were you thinking about?
I don't know. I'd probably find another buyer for the other half. And it might be somebody, maybe it would be the guy who's renting there. It might be somebody that we don't know about. I don't know. Probably something like that.
Could you envision it possibly being more housing? I mean, literally it on both sides of the street?
It could be. I found my notes from talking to Jim Rupert, and what he said was that Bolton has the right to dispose of 200,000 gallons of effluent a day, and they're currently using 15% or about 30,000 gallons. So the capacity is more than sufficient. I don't know how many
buildings that meets serving. With what, right? Yeah, I think that's what I've been told as well. There's capacity.
Okay. There's tons of capacity. I've rarely seen situations like this where there's just a small portion of what's possible being used.
So, Patrice, I have a question just off the subject here, but why so for so many years, every time something comes up on 44, we always say, well, we don't think we can get septic in there, when we have all this usable way of disposing of sewage? Hasn't that always been a problem?
Because 830G lets you trump the Water Pollution Control Authority's desires.
Because of that we can allow anything.
Yeah.
Right. And the only other way that takes that out of the equation is if you have a commercial component attached to the housing component.
Okay, I guess I understand that now.
Like, if this is totally unappealing to the town, I'll figure out something else to do.
Oh, no.
Unappealing. It's just you gotta be devil's advocate here. You have to ask questions. Sure.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. I understand, but I'm just
hear them now.
I'm just saying that I don't have to do this. I can figure out a different way to,
I think you might liquidate. You're the right guy in the right place, the right time.
I think, Richard, you tell me if I'm being unfair with my recollection here, but I think when we talked, I told you, and at the time, there are now four or five new board members that I don't really know their persuasion for this. But I think, speaking on the old board, that the old board was very open-minded to this, in fact, probably encouraging to housing. And I think I represented that to you, that they would happily take an affordable housing project, as we don't really have that type of housing in town, and we do need to provide some of it. And I don't know, maybe the board members should tell me if I'm saying the wrong thing, but I have viewed that in our conversations and the things that you've done in your work as the Planning and Zoning Commission as that being a representation of what you think.
Oh yeah, the Jim Cropley. Yeah, I mean that's why I question. I mean, it would be great to get more housing in there. I mean, we've tried to do that for years and we're always denied because of the whole septic system. You know, I mean, you could probably get a developer to go into the drive-in site now. I mean, that was one of the things that held them up before. They couldn't get the septics in to make it affordable to build enough properties to have regular and low income. I think it's a great idea. Of course, I don't own the property next door anymore, so.
You used to own the nursery? Or
yeah.
On the other side, the yep. Nursery.
Has anything ever existed on this bill, on this property before any other buildings? Are there any kind of things in the property that you should be aware of?
Like, next to Jim's old property?
Well, what I'm thinking about is, are you aware of anything that might have contaminated, like an old garage or something like that, that may have contaminated?
Didn't they hay it in drier seasons, Jim?
Yeah, they always hate it. And actually, when we put on our addition, which was a long time ago, we had to do, the town was on this environmental kick. So we had to do a complete environmental study. And it actually took into account, because there used to be a gas station up, or they sold gas in the lot above us towards the Coventry side.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do this whole environmental impact, and we actually got permission from Lindale's to go in there, and we had to pull samples from all around, and there was no, and I mean,
no
we,
did,
I mean, when I was there, we did nothing. We never sprayed. We don't have a garage to work on our equipment. I mean, so none of that was, I mean,
there should be no contamination.
Yeah. So the wells should be a possibility, and you know, a good possibility.
Yeah.
That's a challenge, is putting in a water system essentially, for however many units are built there. I think that's potentially challenging. So I don't have any costs on that yet. I'm still trying to figure out whether this whole thing is feasible. The only cost I really have is the $10,000 per unit to Bolton for the sewer hookup. And I'm trying to figure out what all the other costs are. You know, that's a quick, you know, $500,000 or more, because I think you need to get at least 50 units there to make it worth doing. And it might be more units. I don't know how many somebody would lay out there.
That's what I was thinking, is that, you know, usually, you know, if you have more, then the price per unit is less. And that's why I was thinking, if perhaps it could be somehow tied in, the two properties tied in together, and make it a little bit, you know, the economics of scale kind of thing working for you.
We're definitely exploring everything. We need to do something with it to return the money to the IRA. So we may have to go in a good bit deeper before we come out of it.
I'm not well versed on this thing, but there must be some sort of benefits that developers who are willing to go forward with, you know, there must be something that would entice a developer to do this.
Yeah, they don't follow any building codes.
No, they have to follow the building code. Just zoning, they get away with.
Zoning.
They can have Manchester eat effluent.
Patrice.
Or 8002 bill, which I was trying to look up, because I remember seeing something about them relaxing some standards, but I don't know how that affects things like, you know, capacity of the water table.
I mean, so if right now, going back to sewer, if we have a, what was it, 200,000 gallon per day threshold, and we're only using 30%?
Actually, it's 15%.
15%. Thanks for that correction. I don't see why not to continue to look into this further. From the time I have been on the board as an alternate up until now, we definitely have strived to look for affordable housing solutions. And if there is a way to get a win-win, may not be the most ideal situation, but I don't think any situation is going to be 100% perfect. I think making good use of the time and the land that we do own, you do have right, obviously, to explore those options, and I would support you continuing to do that.
I appreciate it.
Ellen, Eric, Patrice will correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole purpose of an informal discussion is to get a sense of what the board's feelings are without actually committing the board to whatever they come in with. I mean, we can say, yes, we're in favor of affordable housing, and we, you know, and then they come in with something, we go, whoa. Okay, so right. there's no commitment. But if you have something that you'd like, that have having listened to the discussion, that you'd like to say, that can help him.
Yeah, I mean, I generally agree with what others have said and would be supportive of further exploration of this. Sounds like a good opportunity.
There's just, it's funny, I was skimming the bill because I was very curious to see what the final wording was earlier today, and also like while we're sitting here, and there's even going to be grants and things like that that will be effective January 1st. They're establishing an administration commission or something for housing growth, but I think that probably, to Patrice's point, that goes through the what is the acronym? I'm gonna learn these wrong. But it is kind of interesting that like this kind of project might also be included in those grants from the state as part of the bill. And for the record, this is a big part of the reason that I ran for this commission was because of my interest in affordable housing. So definitely very interested in hearing more and learning more about this.
Well, right, we're going to explore it together. I don't...
Right now, I'm the chaff of field observer for three different affordable housing projects in different locations, and I would be very interested to see what a higher density project would look like on this site in Bolton. I think you have your answer at this point. The best
okay.
we can get.
Do you feel comfortable, Richard, with the
sure.
with what's heard? Okay.
Yeah,
did
sure.
I mean, represent what I thought correctly? I just need to know that.
I would say yes.
Okay. All right.
And you know, hopefully I did as well.
You did. Absolutely.
I mean, it's sort of an interesting, you know, it's kind of a mistake on our part because we never, you know, we're the unintended owners. But it could be interesting and it could work out well for everybody. It's going to be a little bit of a long haul, I think.
I think from what we've heard, you know, like I said, you may have hit this at a sweet time, you know, and it can move a lot faster than maybe you. I may be wrong, but I think it could be faster than what you think.
Yeah, great.
And thank you for coming to talk with us tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Okay. So long.
Take care.
Well, what was Richard's last name?
Grodz. Grodsky.
So they're brothers?
No, Gunnar's my son. I haven't figured out how to hang up yet.
Thank you.
There's a little button to the right. Usually says leave.
I don't see that.
Well, then you're going to have to stay.
You're welcome to stay, or I can leave you, I think, if I want, if you want me to.
Yeah, you can leave me because you all should talk, you know, without or us being there, I think.
All right.
Well, we won't be talking about you. Very interesting conversation from here on in.
There we go. The budget coming up.
Maybe I should stay.
All right. I thought I could. I actually don't see that I can do that. I can remove. I don't know if I remove you. If that
it's in the lower. Just put your cursor onto the screen, and you'll see leave a guy walking through a door on the lower right-hand corner.
Yeah, I'm used to seeing that, but I don't quite see it this time. Oh, maybe right here.
His lights went out.
Well, I can walking everywhere.
Here we go.
He's gone.
Okay.
I hope he knows it. I don't know what he's seeing on his end, but that's okay.
The next item of business is discussion and possible decision on the fiscal year 2026-27 budget.
Right. This was in the packet, but I did include a very large ledger size for you in front of you there.
It was nice to see that you doubled our salary, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. I try to do my best. I'm happy to walk through this or answer any questions, whatever you'd like to do.
The only question I had from looking at this slightly earlier is the training component, since we do have several new members. And they're going to need to take certain training for credits. If the amount allocated is enough, perceived to be enough, I don't know what, you know, historically this has looked like in relation to what needs to be done for terms of credits for members.
So if you look, I've given you historical data back to 2019-2020 budget year. And basically, we've never spent more than $25 in all that time. The requirement came in a year or two ago, and we have been able to find ways to do this training for free for the most part. There are classes online. There are things coming up that I'll, you know, usually alert you to. I know several members have attended the bar class, which is a full Saturday in March, usually, I think it is. And those, I think, are $60 or $65. So the $300 that is there should cover if everybody wanted to go to the bar class, or, you know, most of you wanted to go, five of you.
And that one is highly recommended if you've never
taken especially it before. When you don't know a lot about planning and zoning or the statutes, it is very informative. Just kind of walking through the rest of this, if you look at the unaudited actual expenditures of 2024-25, and they're in red, there's $2,267 and $525. So what they've done, and part of what we heard when Cassie was talking to us about her getting paid, is they've actually changed where they pay her out of now. So that line that has been carried as payroll, are you with me? The line that has been carried as payroll is where that money has always come out of, but now they're making us transfer that into the second line, which is official admin services. So not shown here, but what I'd like to do is the request would be the $1,100 out of the official admin services account and zero in the payroll account. Did basically just switching the two, not changing the amount we're requesting, but switching the two. So we don't have to keep transferring money out of one account to pay another. I don't know why they did that, but that's how it is. So the $1,100, you know, we've gotten close. You can see back in 2021, I don't think we need more than that, but I think that's probably adequate for what we need. The professional training we've discussed. The advertising is always basically a crapshoot. If we have a lot of development activities or we do a lot of things, the amount of legal advertising goes up. Public hearings require three different advertisements, two for the public hearing and one for the decision. So it just depends on the activity. And we've sort of been, you can see it's been all over the place over the years. So I think I lowered it $300 just because we've never gone over 1200. I don't know if you want to keep it at 500. And if we're asked to cut later, we can cut it there. But I think we'd be okay with $1,200 there.
Office up. Yeah, that's the highest that 1195 is the highest it's been in recent history. So I think $1,200 is a good number.
Okay. Office operations. We typically spend most of that. It's sort of pooled, if you will, and used for different things for commission and office area. Dues and fees are the newsletters and other things. 200 is usually good. We usually get to pretty close to that. So that's how I keep 3,700.
Do you foresee with all these changes coming up, if we have to amend our plan of conservation and development or anything, where does it, is that going to cost us anything?
It'll be an extra hearing or two. I don't foresee, well, it's going to depend. I don't think so. I don't think it would cost you anything really extra.
So there's no place in here, no place in the budget that it would have to go to get
no,
it.
Well, I think your legal advertising will cover what you need. I think we're probably in good shape there. It's a good question, Arlene, but I don't think there's anything we need to do extra for that.
Okay. I don't see holiday party in here.
So just so you know, I should probably share the screen with you, but when we get the actual thing they want us to fill out, it basically is, it shows you what we asked for, what we spent, and what you, the line is open for what your request is. They don't give you all this history. And I think it's good for the commission to at least be able to see what you've spent over the years and why it sort of gives you a better perspective of why we're asking for what we ask. And I don't know, Tom, you might've even used this sheet when you went in last time, didn't you meet with the budget finance committee last year? Did you do it last year? I think. Yeah. And I've also elaborated on the actual items. So payroll, I've put in why, what it is, the advertising, what it costs us, those kind of things, just so you can see what all that is and what it's going toward.
And I see today they came through with revised forms that added two more columns.
Yeah, but I've already got them in here. The only column I don't have is the percentage spent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which at this point, it doesn't matter because we don't spend it by month. You know, our stuff is spent, you know, we might not spend all of the office stuff until March. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, just because we haven't spent any now doesn't mean really anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, really, if we run short, I mean, they're not going to not find us money. I mean, it's not like we're looking for millions of dollars.
No. I mean, they have to cover your legal advertising, and it's just, it's required by state.
I mean, so.
Can't not do, so.
I have a question. With more and more newspapers going out of business, is, you know, the legal advertising and newspapers may become actually difficult. Do you foresee that?
So for the past 20 years, the Connecticut chapter of the American Planning Association has been fighting in the legislature every year to have the legal advertisement requirement removed from the newspapers. And especially since now and during COVID, everything was done on websites and everybody goes to the website to read the legal ads. And it was basically a cost-cutting measure for towns so they wouldn't have to spend that money. I mean, we spend, you know, if we spend $1,200 a year, that's something. But a town like West Hartford, they probably have a $10,000 legal advertising budget. It's pricey when you get into the cities and larger areas. So that we've been fighting this for years, and the newspaper, whoever represents the newspaper, ends up talking to the legislature. And even when we think we're close, they end up never passing it. So it has remained in the law.
I mixed mind of this because I love having the press, but at the same time,
do you read the legal?
They're shot for money too, and they don't want to lose anything.
Well, that's where, and honestly, that's probably where they make a lot of their money is in through legal advertisement, obviously.
Any more discussion or questions? Are we ready for a motion?
That's cool.
I make a motion to accept the planning and zoning budget that has been proposed with, I believe, a small change that Patrice highlighted, removing payroll fees, Planning and Zoning Commission reporting secretary, that line of 1,100 to the lower proceeding line of the official admin services.
Jim Cropley.
Jim Cropley seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? 700 passes.
When's the fiscal year end?
June 30th.
Thank you, Patrice. I found this level of detail very helpful. Appreciate
Great.
You putting
Thanks.
It together.
No worries.
We try, out of respect for the time of the commission members, to end at 9 o'clock.
Mr. Chairman, I am going to ask, since it is so close and Mike is not here, I don't know if you want to put this off to the next meeting just so he's here. Basically, the main question I have for you is the piece that you took off the printer for me and handed yes. everybody. And that is the table for signs. I put it in as we have it now. And I don't know if that's what we want, but I think it probably deserves a little more discussion. Unless you are good with it. I also wanted to make sure that the newer members had time to look at this and if they had any questions. And if they want to, if you have questions while you're looking at this and you want to come and talk to me or call or whatever, I'm happy to go through it with you. But we basically are trying to update the sign regulations down to something a little more concise, usable, user-friendly, understandable. And the example I gave is we had a sign that came in that three of us tried to calculate and we all came up with a different number. So that's when we decided the sign regulations needed some amending.
It was a 500-page document.
And what we're considering is based on tolerance.
Right, exactly.
Which I think Mike developed and he was recycling here. As an example of a good set of regulations. And what we have is it's one's called page 6 and one's called page 8. It's a letter format, portrait format, and a landscape format. And the landscape has it's marked in red what the changes were. And then the one that's page 6 is what it would look like after the change. Is that right?
It is.
Yes.
The one other thing that didn't make it into that change is it, I now understand we were going back through again trying to figure it out, but we require it looked like we didn't require any setbacks from side and rear lines, but the setbacks are from all property lines. So I will make that change. I don't know if that, I don't think I made that change in the piece you have, because I think I learned that around 6 o'clock tonight. So I can make that change.
Sorry. Is that what the 10 foot was, Therese?
Is that what the what?
10 foot was? 10 feet? Is that a required setback on the original one?
No, the original one were not ours. Those were from Tolland. Oh, oh, oh. The okay. one that's changed represents what we have currently in our regulations.
But
so,
you do have to add setbacks.
Yeah, I have to add them because we currently don't have. I think I put zero in there, right?
It's empty. It's empty. Yeah. But.
Yeah. So they actually should have the same from that the setbacks. Basically, probably the line should be set instead of setback from front property line, it should be setback from all property lines. And it's the same for all of them.
Just from property line.
Yeah. So I was trying to talk to Mike, and again, he's been busy all day, but I don't know whether we should refer to it as property line or lot line. We use both in our regulation. We use property line a lot more than we use lot line. I don't know if it matters. I think they're pretty synonymous with each other. So I just was trying to make this table as easy to understand as possible. And I think it just needs a little more work. I didn't know if reviewing it, if you had any other questions regarding the rest of it, since it now you can read it as if it were finished.
I think it looks great.
Thanks.
Patrice, I have a question about visibility. Is that, I know we talked about lighting, the different kinds of lighting that one is allowed to use with the sign. Mm-hmm. However, I'm still talking about the driveway going into the Dollar General store. It is lit. For a while, I thought it was unlit. But the problem is that because there is no light at the intersection with 44 of that driveway, because all the other lights are in front of the businesses involved, and you cannot see, in my mind, clearly enough, the actual entrance to the driveway, that something somehow is going to have to be helped. Now, I've been talking to Mr. Rupert, and I'm going to have to send a letter, I guess, to Mr. To our first selectman about this, about maybe getting some reflective lining done, painting along the curbs or something. But that's not even, it's going to cost the town a little bit of money, perhaps.
But it's not a town even, road, though, Marilee. It's a state road.
Well, but if the state ends and this town begins at some point, right?
No, state ends, private property owner begins. We don't own anything there.
You know, one thing that we can do, I noticed they just put up a sign that the rear lot, they put up a for sale sign.
Yes.
You know how there's three lots there? It's the...
There was one in the back, yeah.
One in the back. They just put a sign up. So, you know, maybe what we could do is maybe if someone comes in...
Yeah, with good idea, Jim.
Could we actually ask them to change that or to brighten it up a little bit?
And maybe put some...
With a proposal?
Yeah. Someone comes in to propose another store or something there, could we ask about the entrance?
I think we could, yeah. At that point, you could.
Right.
Good point, Jim.
Just to clarify, Marilee, are you talking about the sign there, or are you just...
Well, I was hoping, because if you can measure something, you can manage something like that.
Right.
And there is a lighting in the sign. I think it's an interior light or something like that, but it's not bright enough. You know, it doesn't really provide any helpful suggestions to the driver as to where to actually enter that space.
Because it's on the other side of the ditch.
Yeah. And I tell you, this is just a terrible accident waiting to happen.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Wait a minute.
Nothing happened.
So, well, that'd be one way to assure that something would happen if there was a terrible accident. We do not want that, do we? So I'm just trying to think of all ways that maybe if the lighting could be enhanced, really, on this sign in some way to give more visibility to the driveway. But anyway.
Okay, so the members, we have Article 18 signage with a couple of minor changes, and they're going to do a little more work. And so this is something we should probably plan to move to a public hearing at the January meeting.
What I would like to do is I would like you to go through it at the January meeting, make sure we're in good shape with it. It's then got to go to CROG. So you'll be looking at a February public hearing, probably.
Well, I meant send a public hearing and
schedule it in January.
Not have one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Schedule, yeah. Yes, correct. Yeah.
And so this, on the top of this packet here, this is items left to be addressed. Those are the things that, like, Patrice, you and whoever else are working through. Just making sure that I'm following.
Right. So the table is the table I was just talking about, just to make sure we've got it the way we want it. The decision on detached signs, I could not find where you guys had made a decision on that. And I think staff was what we had recommended. And I don't know if the commission had gone with that on that section. We had discussed the window outlining lighting that I think we didn't want to allow, and I don't think we addressed it in here. And then the codification is when we're all done and we go to public hearing, then the codification, it's just a reminder for me that codification will renumber everything to stick it into the regulations as it fits now.
I got it. So basically it's done. It just needs to be like polished a little bit and then like approved by all the different levels.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
So going back to 830G8-, I liked Tom, the idea of making sure that everybody knows what it is, and we have a lot of new members that have probably never heard what it is. We've talked about RMUZs, and we've talked about a lot of things that are all brand new. So I don't know if the left, no time left, is a good time to at least get people.
I think we could do it under staff reports the next meeting.
Next meeting.
Yeah.
What would you like to do at staff reports? I did send out the regulations, and I would suggest the newer members, if you want to look through the regulations. I know there are a lot, but you could look through the RMZ part of it. A30G is not contained in there. That's the statute. I certainly could send out a link to the statute itself, and some other literature that we could get you for regarding 830G that comes out of the bar.
Reading those things are not helpful. I'm sorry.
No, it would be the paper, a paper about it versus the actual statute. Statute would probably put you to sleep. You need the footnote, the cliff notes. Yeah. I guess.
You need layman's terms, not legal terms.
Patrice, could you also provide the 450 section on e-code?
I don't know what that is.
This is part of 450. Is
electronic version.
Okay. I do know what that is.
Yes.
what is it that you want, Quan?
Oh, in addition to, if you're going to send out information for the commission, the e-code link.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, to the new, actually, I think, I don't know if you were part of it. I think I sent it to the whole commission, new or otherwise. Maybe I didn't. But I did, I know I sent a welcome to the new commissioners and the link was part of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Patrice, I'm not here in January.
Okay.
Not that you'll Need me.
I'll miss you. I'll
miss you. Miss you.
So, I was still kind of getting my bearings when you talked about this at the beginning, but what is the kind of timeline around Crag looking at their plan for all the stuff that's coming? It's in January.
In January, we should be having a meeting based up basically what they found, possible zoning regulations that are in some sort of draft form for us to review as staff, and possibly some housing plan, draft housing layout.
For Cider Mill.
For Cider Mill. Yes. Yep.
Do you know what we talk about when we talk about Cider Mill?
Yeah.
And do you know when we talk about the drive-in, do you know what that is? Okay.
Good check.
Yeah, what I meant was, you know, kind of reading through all the regulations on the 8002 that said that a lot of it was, I mean, and to Quan's point, we could choose to go our own way, but it looked like a lot of it was based on regional authority. So that's kind of more, not necessarily stuff that's specific to Bolton, but I don't know what the, you know, what's being discussed from that perspective.
We have a huge region.
I know.
And so we have a few rural towns. And a lot of big towns, cities. So sometimes the needs are different.
They've been very good to us as a small rural town, though. They really do. I feel like Crog goes out of their way to understand and help some of the smaller towns, knowing that, you know, we don't have a full-time engineer. We don't have, you know, the same amount kind of money sources that maybe some of the cities have. And we still have needs, so they understand that.
And you, they like you.
That's good. Makes we try difference. To help. We try to help each
makes
other.
A difference. Makes huge difference.
And was there any additional correspondence that wasn't already sent out?
No.
Okay, Jim.
Jim, you're up.
I guess Mr. Chairman, I think I should pass it on to Kwan.
Maybe before we do that, I just want to circle back to something Arlene said earlier about possibly meeting with the Board of Selectmen. I think that might be a really good idea for us as a group to get together with them, and I'm just not quite sure how that would work.
Well, I think first of all, we have to decide what we want to talk to them about.
Well, what Patrice had said is the Board of Selectmen is already planning to gather the land use boards for a meeting with them.
Okay.
So since that's already in process, we might just wait for them to do that. And then if that doesn't satisfy our needs, okay, then we can invite them back.
Do it in good. January.
Yeah.
Okay. Please.
You're not
I will I will talk to Jim to see what if he's got a timeline for that or what they're thinking for that. Okay. I know they're thinking about it. I just don't know what their timeline is. I think they were kind of waiting for the boards to get in place. Yeah. There's a lot of new people on all the boards. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jim.
Mr. Chairman,
go on.
Okay. I make a motion to adjourn the December 10th, 2025 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
Second.
Second, Arlene, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting is adjourned at 9:05. Okay. 9:06 by the
9:06.
Okay. Everybody have a nice Christmas.
Thank you. It was good seeing you.
Yeah. Bye.